Philippians chapter 1. The verses we would like to consider this morning with the Lord's help are those verses 22, 23, and 24. And there Paul says in verse 22, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." In this portion of his letter to the Philippian believers, the apostle deals with two great matters, namely life and death. For Paul, life meant something very special, and death, hell, for Paul, no fears at all. This we know from his words in verse 21, those words we considered last week. "For to me to live is Christ." There's the special aspect of Paul's living. He lived for Christ. And then he said, "To die is gain." Death held no fears for the apostle. And what a happy position for anyone to be in, to be enjoying life by serving Christ, and then looking upon death as great gain. Even though living for Christ, as far as Paul was concerned, brought with it beatings, imprisonments, false accusations, yet he lived his life for Christ to the full. His only concern being that Christ would be magnified in his body, whether it be by life or by death. And when death would come, Paul wouldn't be stepping down. Paul would be stepping up. The Lord would be saying to him, "Come up higher." And for Paul, that would be gain. Good it was to live for Christ, and gain it was to live with Christ. But then that posed for Paul a problem, because since he lived for Christ, he wanted to continue living in the flesh. He wanted to continue working and living for Christ. Yet at the same time, he wanted to be with Christ. It is this issue that he debates with himself in these three verses. Have there not been those times in your life and mine when, like Paul, we have also been, as it were, homesick for heaven? When we wanted to go home to be with the Lord. So let us see how the apostle resolved this particular problem, this particular debate that he had with himself. First of all, let us look at his dilemma. Verse 22. "For if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not." What would I prefer? To continue living in the flesh? Or to be with Christ in glory? Paul said, "Yet what I shall choose, I wot not." So here he speaks first of all about his remaining in the flesh. The dilemma had to do with his remaining in the flesh. Paul knew what it would mean for him to remain in the flesh, which made going to heaven and to be with Christ all the more attractive and appealing. He knew that living in the flesh would bring with it trials and temptations, and he would have to live with that thorn in the flesh. He knew that living in the flesh would mean burdens to bear, beatings to endure, battles to be fought. It would mean also for him to be in bonds for the Lord. He knew that living in the flesh would mean suffering for Christ. It would mean separations from his brethren. He knew that living in the flesh would mean conflicts, confinements, and crosses to bear. Paul, of course, knew that he was appointed to suffer such things. For there in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Paul knew that he would suffer many tribulations and trials. He was appointed there too. That was the message that the Lord gave to Ananias to relate to Paul, that he was a chosen vessel unto the Lord and that he would suffer many things for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Yes, Paul was aware of all of these things. But he was only human. And at times, he wished that he could be released from all this affliction and go home to be with the Lord and there to enter into his eternal rest. And there's not a Christian, I'm sure, who has not felt the same way at times, saying with the psalmist, "Oh, that I had wings of a dove, that I might fly away and be at rest." But then Paul looks at it another way. For he says, "This is the fruit of my labor." In other words, for Paul, to live in the flesh wouldn't only mean all this suffering and all the afflictions that would come upon him, but it would also mean that as he lived in the flesh, he could labor for the Lord and bring forth fruit for the Lord. "This is the fruit of my labor," Paul says. And so he thought not only about remaining in the flesh, but also about reaping the fruit of his labors. He thought that as long as he remained in the flesh, he would spend and be spent for the Lord and reap the fruit of his labors. If you take those words, "This is the fruit of my labor," Martin Luther renders them in this way: "But since to live in the flesh serves to produce more fruit." But since to live in the flesh serves to produce more fruit. He thought to live in the flesh would give him the opportunity to advance the kingdom of God, to advance the honor and interest of the kingdom of Christ in the world. How many of us look upon life in that way? How many of us look upon life in that way, and the way Paul looked at his life, and say, how can my life be fruitful for the Lord? How can I help to advance the kingdom of heaven in this world in which I live? After all, believer, when your life and mine has been spent, and the curtain comes down upon our lives, there'll be no more opportunities to labor and to be fruitful. As the Savior has given us an example from his own life, we have to make every minute count. Every minute that the Lord has granted to us, we have to make every minute count for God. That is how the Lord lived. In John 9 verse 4, the Lord said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, and no man can work. That's how the Lord Jesus lived his life upon earth. I must work the works of him that sent me. The night cometh when no man can work. And believer, sometime the night will come for us when our opportunity to labor and bring forth fruit for the Lord's name and honor and glory will be over. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Mark the words. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We're all heading towards the grave. And when that time comes, there'll be no more opportunities to work. And so therefore, believer, whatsoever our hand findeth to do, let us do it with our might. Let us use the talents and the gifts the Lord has given to us. Let us use that knowledge, that wisdom that Solomon spoke about here, to further the kingdom of God and to reap the fruit of our labors. To see something done, to see some kind of harvest from our labors for the Lord. We are to use these gifts and talents because that is what the Lord expects from us. The Lord has great expectations. John 15 and verse 8. The Lord Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. It's the mark of the Lord's disciple to glorify God in laboring for him and seeking to bring forth fruit for him. Remember the blessed man in Psalm 1. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's like the tree planted by the river that bringeth forth fruit in his season. And believer, for you and me, this is the season of fruit bearing. When we enter the grave, that season will be over. No further opportunity to bear fruit for the Lord. That season will be over. And so Paul said, I know that living in the flesh will bring with it hardships and suffering and imprisonments. But living in the flesh also affords me an opportunity to further the kingdom of God. To bring forth fruit for the Lord. Believer, let us look upon our lives in that way. Every day the Lord gives us, by His grace, He's given us another day to bring forth fruit for Him. To do something for Him. Because when we enter the grave, it'll be too late. And then we notice also his reasoning about the future. The Apostle Paul said, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. What about the future? What about the days that lie ahead? Would I rather remain in the flesh and serve the Lord and bring forth fruit? Or in the days ahead, would I rather go home to be with Christ? Would I rather labor for Christ or live with Christ? That was his dilemma. Between the two, he couldn't choose. He was looking forward to laboring for the Lord, and he was looking forward to living with the Lord. Is this not a most remarkable and commendable thing? That Paul was looking forward to working, looking forward to laboring, looking forward to toiling, looking forward to serving the Lord. That had as much of an appeal to Paul as the appeal of heaven. Not amazing. Of course, it's not so amazing when you consider what he said in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. And he looked forward to this working and laboring and toiling. We must say that's hardly the norm in the Church of Christ today. It's hardly the norm. You can put it to the test. Whenever there's a work to be done in a church, who is it does it? It's usually the faithful few. It's the few that carry on that work. As we say, it's hardly the norm. Paul was looking forward to serving, looking forward to working, looking forward to toiling for the Lord. Not many look forward to that. But Paul did. We know that to serve the Lord, we're laying up treasure in heaven. We're working for eternity. We're preparing for that day when we enter the Lord's presence. And what fruit will we be able to set before Him? What will we be able to talk to Him about regarding what we have done here? Someone has said that they would rather wear out for the Lord than rust out. They would rather wear out for God than rust out. No chance of Paul rusting out. Rather, Paul was ready to wear out for the Lord. And he would serve the Lord upon earth. And he said, to die is gain. and he would gain by being with Christ and in heaven serving Christ. We serve Christ in heaven as well. It's not a matter of going to heaven as we're sitting down and putting your feet up. We know that from the book of the Revelation. In Revelation 7 and verse 14, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which come out of great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him." Serve him day and night. "And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." We serve the Lord here, believer, and we'll serve the Lord there also. But how much service do we render to the Lord here? Will we be like that barren fig tree, bearing nothing but leaves? So there was Paul's dilemma. To remain in the flesh, continue serving the Lord, or would he rather go home to be with the Lord? That was his dilemma. And he said of the two things, he didn't know what to choose. But then you have his desire, mentioned here in verse 22, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." In verse 22, is when we're speaking about remaining in the flesh and what that meant. Now, in the next verse, in verse 23, he looks at the other side of the argument, the other part of the debate. And he says, "I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Now he talks about what it would be to be with Christ. And this just added to his dilemma. He enjoyed serving the Lord so much. But at the same time, he knew what he enjoyed being with the Lord. And here he expresses his desire. And here was a desire that perplexed him. The desire to stay and the desire to go perplexed him. The word rendered, "I am in a strait." I am in a strait. May be rendered or translated to be pressed on. Or to be constrained as in a crowd. I remember when I used to go to the football matches or soccer games in Ulster. You go to Windsor Park when there was an international on. Maybe Northern Ireland playing Scotland or playing England. You went to Windsor Park. And in many ways it was frightening getting out of the ground. And you came towards the gates which brought you out of the ground into the streets, and the crush, the pressure that came on you, the crowds pushing against you, the great vast crowd narrowing into the gateway, as I said, was quite frightening at times. That's what this word means here. Being pressed. To be pressed on, constrained as if you're in a crowd. And so Paul felt pressed, perplexed, as to know what to do. The pressure is on him as he thinks about these matters. He didn't know what to choose. The words in the original are very emphatic. The thought is of a ship lying in harbour. And suddenly there's a great gale comes, there's a violent wind. And that wind blows against that ship that is moored there in the harbour, but it's so violent, it seeks to push it out to sea. And the only thing that's keeping it in the harbour is the anchor. It's anchored there in the harbour, but the gale seeks to push it out to sea. That's how Paul felt. Paul was that vessel, he was that ship. He was anchored to the earth. But there was a desire like a gale force wind that was pressing him, pushing him out towards heaven. We see just how deep Paul's love was for the Lord's work and for the Lord's people at Philippi. Because you see, the Lord's work and the Lord's people at Philippi, that was the anchor that was holding Paul back. That was, as it were, anchoring him to the earth. But there was a desire as strong as a gale force wind that was driving him out to look towards heaven and to being at home with the Lord. It wasn't his love for the world that he wanted to stay in the flesh. It wasn't his love for the world that anchored him to the earth. It was his love for the saints, and it was love for the service of the Lord. It wasn't because he was depressed or disappointed, or because he had suffered many defeats that made him want to get away to heaven. No, we've already seen that he loved to serve the Lord. No, it was his desire to be with Christ. It is rare to see Christian perplexed about spiritual matters. Paul was perplexed here over these spiritual matters, about service, about labor, about toiling for the Lord, about life and about death. He was perplexed. We could ask ourselves, believer, this morning, when was the last time we were perplexed about spiritual things? When was the last time we were perplexed, say, about the coldness of our hearts? About the lack of answers to our prayers? Do these things not perplex us? Are we not perplexed about our living for Christ? It's not what it ought to be. We know it's not what it should be. Do these things perplex us? Spiritual things perplex Paul. We ever perplexed about not enjoying fellowship with Christ that we should? Paul was perplexed. And the man or the woman who is perplexed about spiritual things, that's a spiritual person. If I can get that little book, Heavenly Springs, quotations from Andrew Bonner's sermons and his diary, I'll try and get some copies and bring them here. You should read them. Bonner was a spiritual giant. And yet there are those times in his diary where he speaks about how his heart is cold and he's perplexed about it. He's perplexed about not having given more time to prayer. And he's perplexed about not having given more time to the study of the Word. These things perplexed him. And yet, Bonner, as I say, was a spiritual giant. These things troubled him. And they ought to trouble us also. And so his desire perplexed him. He had a desire that was preferable. He had a desire to stay and labor for the Lord in the flesh. But he also had a desire to be with Christ. That was his preference here. To depart and to be with Christ. Here Paul speaks about his release. The word depart. Having a desire to depart. The word depart there has a double meaning. And both meanings for this word gives us a beautiful picture of the Christian leaving this scene of time. The word that Paul employs here, first of all, the meaning has reference again to a ship. It's tied up at the harbor. When that ship is ready to set sail, it weighs anchor. Pulls up the anchor and is ready to sail for its destination. It's departing the harbor. And sailing out across the seas to its destination. That's the word Paul uses here. I have a desire to depart. He uses that word in his last letter to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to set sail for heaven. That's what he's saying. The time of my departure. We use that terminology with regard to a ship leaving the harbor. The time of departure is at hand. And here Paul says, I'm ready to leave the harbor on earth. I'm ready to sail into the heavenly haven of rest. That's my desire to depart. The second meaning of the word refers to the pulling up of ropes and the stakes of a tent and moving to a more permanent abode. Abraham lived in tents. He was always on the move. Yet Abraham was able to say they look for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God, a city which hath foundation. And Paul here says, I'm looking forward to that day when I depart, when I, as it were, pull up the cords and the stakes and the tent and move to a more permanent abode. And believer, that's the way it is with us all. This world is not our home. We're only passing through. We're living in tents, as it were. But the day is coming when we shall pull up the stake, wrap up the tent, and move to the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I believe James Montgomery, the hymn writer, got it right that he had this thought in his mind when he wrote that hymn. Forever with the Lord. Amen, so let it be. Life from the dead is in that word. 'Tis immortality. Here in the body pent, absent from thee I roam. Yet nightly pitch my moving tent. A day's march nearer home. Montgomery was right. That's what we do. That's what we're engaged in. Moving our tents nearer home. And Paul says, I have a desire to pull up my tent and to enter that city that hath foundation. That home that has been prepared for me, eternal in the heavens. He was thinking about his release, and he was giving them his reason. For he says, the reason why he wanted to depart was to be with Christ. To be with Christ, the one who loved me and gave himself for me, Paul's saying. This is in stark contrast to many of the false religions of today. Many of those who believe in the false teaching of false religions today don't know where they'll be when they die. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, tell us they'll be annihilated. And the Muslims, they believe that if one of their own dies the death of a martyr, their reward is a crude, vile, fleshly reward that's supposed to await them on the other side of the grave. I tell you, they're in for a rude awakening. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. That's what Paul had to look forward to. To be with Christ. This was a holy desire. This was an honorable desire. He wasn't wanting out of the world because he was depressed, or because of the difficulties he faced, because of the defeats he endured. I read this past week of a man and his wife. They were millionaires, but they were both terminally ill. What did they do? They went over to Switzerland to a clinic there that practices euthanasia. And they went there and committed suicide. That's why they wanted to depart this scene of time. But what would await them on the other side? They weren't departing this scene of time that they might be with Christ. That's not what they were looking forward to. They thought that leaving this scene of time and escaping their disease, that they would find some relief. And if they weren't saved, what awaited them on the other side would be far worse. And suffering from any disease. We have learned, I'm sure we have heard of men who have committed suicide, wanting some relief from their worries because of the stock market. Men whose businesses have collapsed and their fortune has evaporated and they can't face it. And that's why they want to depart. It's not to be with Christ. It's to find some relief, they believe, from the troubles of life. And they die without Christ and their troubles are only just beginning. Paul says, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ. That was why he wanted to depart. And here is a desire that was precious. It was a desire, yes, that was perplexing. It was a desire that was preferable. He preferred to go home to be with Christ rather than remain in the flesh. And here's a desire that was precious. Because Paul says to be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. Better than anything he experienced upon earth. And even in the original, it may be rendered to be with Christ, which is far, far better. Far, far better. Paul had experienced the Lord with him during his lifetime. Christ was with him in the shipwreck, with him when he was alone. But to be with Christ, Paul says, that's far, far better. He had enjoyed his Savior's presence with him in prison. But to be with Christ in glory was far, far better. He had enjoyed communion with his Savior at the throne of grace. But to be with Christ was far, far better. Only the Christian is able to say that life in heaven is better than life on earth. Because we will be with Christ. He's the one makes the difference. Paul knew that in the Lord's presence there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. His dilemma, his desire. Now in verse 24 you have his decision. He'd had this debate with himself. Whether to remain in the flesh, better to remain in the flesh, or better to be with Christ. He spoke about remaining in the flesh in verse 22. Spoke about being with Christ in verse 23. These are the two things that were pressing upon him. Pulling him in different directions. Now in verse 24, he comes down with his decision. He says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, there's that phrase again, is more needful for you. Paul knew, of course, that when he would actually depart, it was in the hands of the Lord. But he now makes it known what he wants to do. It was a sensible decision. Paul never supposed that his life was useless. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Some of God's people feel their life is useless. That they can't contribute anything to the Lord's work. That's not true. That is not true. Every believer can contribute one way or another to the Lord's work. While he lived in the flesh, he believed his ministry would benefit the church at Philippi. It was a sensible decision. Believer, you and I must realize that while we live, we can be a benefit and a help to others, and a benefit and a help to the Lord's work. We need to look at this in a sensible way. There's no point throwing up our arms and saying, oh, I can't do anything. Yes, you can. You can pray. You can pray. Read the story of a dear lady in her later years, confined to the house, couldn't get to the house of God, but she had a list, a prayer list, and every morning she would pray for those missionaries and those ministers. She contributed a lot to the work of God. She was sensible about the thing, as was Paul. It was a sensible decision. It was a selfless decision. Notice he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He had a desire to depart and be with Christ, but he said, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He put the saints first. He put the Lord's work first. It was a selfless decision. He did not think of himself first. He thought of the believers and of the saints of God and how they could benefit through his ministry. Therefore, he said, my decision is this. In the meantime, I prefer to remain in the flesh, that my ministry might benefit the saints at Philippi. What a great man Paul was. What a great servant of the Lord he was. May the Lord make us more like him. May we have the same desire for Christ and the same desire to serve him. We don't want, surely, to appear before the Lord with nothing to show. Nothing to show for our life as a Christian. But may we be able to say with Paul, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord and gracious God, we pray that thou wilt burn thy word into our hearts. Lord, as thine own finger did write the commandments on the tables of stone, Lord, write thy word upon the fleshly tables of our hearts today. Lord, those of us who are Christians, help us, Lord, to attend to these things that we've learned about this morning from the Word of God. Help us, Lord, not to set them to one side as not really applying to us. Oh God, work in our hearts today. May we have the same desires that Paul had. The desire to live for the Lord while we are in the flesh. And I look forward to the fulfillment of the desire one day to be with Christ and serve him there. Lord, do answer prayer. Write thy word upon our hearts.